College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Going to chat with our buddy Joe Patrick coming up in less than 20 minutes from now. Miguel Almiron comes home to the MLS and Atlanta United. We'll get his take on that, plus the latest on the Falcons. But right now, we need to head out to the WadeFord.com hotline and welcome in our good buddy David Sampson, host of the Nothing Personal podcast, one of the best baseball and business podcasts out there, part of the Lebatard and Friends Network. David, appreciate the time this morning. Let's start with the 800-pound gorilla in the room, and that is what the Los Angeles Dodgers are doing this offseason good for both the current health and the future success of baseball by spending at this clip?
Well, that's such a long question. Let me start by saying that, A, good morning, and B, my view of the Dodgers was the same as my view of the Yankees when I was president of the Marlins. They're not breaking any rules, and they only have 25 roster spots. Although today it's 26, but back then it was 25. So they can only sign and have active 26 players. And if they want to sign everybody, they can't. So it's up to my GM and my baseball people to find players who can compete with them. And there are more than 26 great baseball players in the league. So I really don't view it as stopping my ability to win games. Am I upset that their payroll is that much higher than everybody else's? Well, they've got a huge luxury tax to pay, and they're following the rules. If I don't like it, I need to work with other owners to fix the rules.
When it comes to teams like, I don't know, the Pirates, the Reds, the A's, you know, how do those owners and those team presidents, people in your position, how do they couch the messaging to their fans about what realistic expectations are when they can spend some of those franchises, David, literally a tenth of what the Dodgers are spending?
You know, it's interesting. I was always president of a low payroll team, so I would always say to our fans, listen, we are responsible to give a team that will perform and that will entertain you and that will win games. And when it doesn't work, we'll fire managers, we'll fire GMs, or I'll myself get fired. But we're not going to use payroll as an excuse. What's interesting is that large payroll teams have never done that. But Hal Steinbrenner did that this week. He actually said to the Yankee fans, listen, we're not the Dodgers. And what the Dodgers are doing is not very good, not very helpful, but we're better than we were last year without Soto. And he started making excuses the way we used to as a small payroll team. And I thought that was a pretty interesting moment from last week.
Yeah, I agree. But I would also agree that, David, I think the Yankees are better than they were last year without Soto, because they were able to turn that into 3 and 4 different pieces that will make them a more complete team and maybe not be a team that gets their head handed to them by the Dodgers if they reach the World Series again.
You know, the irony is that there's no such thing as a super team in baseball. It's not like basketball where you can get LeBron and Wade and Bosh, or you try to put people together and it guarantees playoffs and really guarantees a deep run in the playoffs. Baseball is never that way. Just go back to Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani on the LA Angels. They never won one playoff game together. So just having Soto is not enough. The Mets payroll is down like $70 million from last year, and people aren't focusing on that. And so just look at the Braves as a great example. Are they in a position where they're so much worse having not given Max Fried $200 million? And I would say that I'd rather have Max than not, but I wouldn't have paid that amount of money for him.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. That just was never going to happen. Even speaking of $70 million, David, you could have chopped $70 million off that $200 million, and then the Braves still wouldn't have given him that offer. That was the amount of money they offered to Freddie Freeman, which, based off of his time and with the Dodgers, is a slap in the face compared to his relative value. We are talking with David Sampson, the host of the Nothing Personal podcast, former Marlins team president. All right, let's stick with New York before we head to the Braves. A couple of Braves questions coming your way here. Pete Alonso, Why are they arguing over seemingly $5 million? And for those who aren't following, Pete Alonso and his camp were reportedly offered a contract in the neighborhood of 3 years for $70 million. They countered with $75 million, and there's appears to be a lot of consternation about an insignificant amount of money.
Well, first of all, I don't view $5 million as an insignificant amount of money, but I also listened to what Steve Cohn said when he wasn't happy with some of the provisions that Scott Boras wanted, which Scott Boras called normal and regular and standard. And I will tell you that anything Scott Boras asks for is not normal and regular and standard. He's always trying to change and push the envelope and make things way more pro-player, which is his right, but it is the owner's right to say no. And Steve Cohn seems to be making a stand and waiting for Scott Boras to blink. And let's face it, Scott Boras has not handled Pete Alonso correctly. He promised Pete Alonso something that he couldn't deliver. And instead of swallowing his pride and doing what's best for the player, which Scott Boras will never do, he will only do what's best for himself and his reputation. That's what leads to this sort of problem with Pete not being signed. This will end with Pete signing with the Mets, and this will end with Steve Cohn getting his way, because Pete Alonso is going to wake up one day and look at his agent and say, wait a minute, you're not representing me properly. You're representing yourself. And that'll be the minute Pete Alonso signs.
Do you think there's anything to, I heard this on another show, so I'm borrowing somebody's take here, but is there anything to the fact that Steve Cohn could potentially be saying to Boras, hey man, look, we just signed Juan Soto. Can you cut me a break here on this other guy?
So I've had multiple players with the same agent, and you don't do that in the real world. It's not even part of the conversation or the negotiation. You don't say, hey, I did X, therefore help me do Y. The only place in baseball where that happens is in the Dominican with international young players, where you say to a Busconi, who is just an agent without scruples, that's hard to believe. That seems oxymoronic. But what you say is, hey, we want to sign this guy, and in return, we'll also sign his brother, his cousin, and his third cousin. And so you take a bunch of guys and you do it that way. But it doesn't happen in the big leagues.
All right, so when it comes to what's going on here in Atlanta, the fear for the Braves right now is that they just haven't done enough to compete at the level of maybe the Phillies, the Dodgers, the Yankees, because that's where the standard is here in Atlanta after 2021 and the subsequent season. So the starting rotation may be a pitcher or two short. We could use an upgraded shortstop. They did just sign Jerkson Profar coming off a career year, but he's not a player that's typically an all-star caliber player, although he was one last year. What do you make of where the Braves are right now in the pecking order of the National League?
I'm worried that Alex, who gets the benefit of every doubt, in my opinion, and should get the benefit of every doubt, the GM of the team, president of baseball ops, I'm worried that he overpaid Profar, and that's not like Anthopoulos. He normally doesn't take players on the high. And I totally agree with getting rid of Soler, and I also understand you're going to get Strider and Acuna back, but you're also worried that you're not going to get anything out of Sale because he's so fragile. On the other hand, you don't want to chase ghosts. We did not, when putting together teams for 18 years, you're not putting on the board, well, here's the Mets, here's the Braves, here's the Nationals, and let's try to build our team to be as good or better than they are. Let's compare ourselves to them. We just make the best team we can with the payroll that we have from our owner. And I assume that's what Alex is doing as well. And when you know you're getting some help back, which, you know, from Strider and Acuna when they're done with their injuries, it sort of helps you in your offseason planning. So that's all I think is happening.
Would you transition Acuna to part-time DH when he comes back from this latest injury?
No, I wouldn't, actually. And I know it seems that you should, given the injuries, the two injuries he sustained at least. And I hope he doesn't become one of those players who just is, his career is defined by injuries and it takes away from the greatness, because he is one of the top five players, without counting in my head, I just consider him that, in Major League Baseball. But right now, he's tied for the worst player in baseball. And I put that as a category for players who aren't playing. Whatever the reason is, when you're injured, you're not helping a team win. Therefore, you're not a productive player. But when he is in uniform, he is in that top five. And getting him back is what matters. And you can't make a player not get injured. And I don't believe in moving a player to DH as a way to, oh, now we'll protect him from injury as he gets older, maybe, but certainly not yet.
What is the most difficult challenge year over year? Because the Braves are going through this right now with continuing to revamp and restructure a bullpen because they lost a couple of key guys. Joe Jimenez, their setup guy, is going to be out, and AJ Minter is now with the Mets. So they do have some other guys that they're going to be counting on, and Dylan Lee and Pierce Johnson, but those are not the same caliber of back end of the bullpen arms, and they haven't added anybody yet. So what was that challenge like during your time as a president?
We just had to be so careful not to get swept up in offseason. And we did a couple times when we signed Heath Bell to a long-term deal and got totally screwed.
Yeah.
The bullpen you build in February or January is not the bullpen you use in October. And what we always like to do is save some budget money to acquire bullpen help during the course of the season, but also have enough split deals. So we would try to get a bunch of guys at spring training and in AAA, because bullpen arms come and go, and you just want to find the hot guy for a particular season and ride him, and you just never know. There's so few players, bullpen arms, who are good year after year after year. There's a bunch, but not very many. Your best bet is to get upside surprise, and to get upside surprise, you need good scouting, and you need to have a good number of them, both in AAA and in spring training, to just have that depth. So I think that when you're building a bullpen for a team that's going to make the postseason, what you do during the course of the season, grabbing an extra hot bullpen arm from another team, is what you see most competing teams do, and that's the move that makes sense to me.
Wrapping up our conversation with David Sampson, host of the Nothing Personal podcast on the Lebatard and Friends Network. Make sure you check it out. One of the best business and baseball podcasts going.
Thank you.
Yeah, also the former Marlins team president, Chris Thomas, with you till one. Before I let you go, David, the regional sports network thing is just always so fascinating to me. We just found out this week that FanDuel Network, the new home of the former Bally's Network, where the Braves and many other teams, they just laid off 100 more employees to try to restructure and gain more of a capital perspective in terms of revenue. What do you make of the future of how you're going to be able to watch these games? This model just doesn't seem sustainable based on what's happened over the last couple of years.
No, the RSNs are done. And the fact that they got out of bankruptcy was with a short-term plan, and they're going to try to make it long-term, but it's not going to work. All the deals they did with MLB teams are short, some of them just lasting a year. MLB would like to get all of the rights in-house and sell more of a national package that includes streaming. That's what NFL does. That's what the NBA really has moved toward as well. And it's an amazing equalizer, because these teams that have funded so much of their expense through RSN revenue, like the Red Sox with NESN or the Yankees and Mets with YES Network and SNY, those networks just are not throwing off the cash they used to, and that is impacting how teams are acting. The one exception, and we started the show with this, the Dodgers, their RSN deal has not been impacted by the real world changes, and they have an overmarket horrible deal that if Comcast could, they'd get out of it, but there's no way to get out of it. There's no way to declare bankruptcy, and the Dodgers have this amazing source of cash that the rest of the teams just don't have, and that's just the reality of baseball at the current moment.
Yeah, I find it fascinating. It'll be interesting to keep tabs over the coming years as baseball looks to get its streaming situation sorted out. David, appreciate the time. As always, we'll chat soon as the baseball season ramps up.
I look forward. Have a great rest of the show. Take care.
All right. That is David Sampson, again, host of Nothing Personal. Make sure you check that out. One of the best informational